Uh-huh. That changes the picture entirely. Much to her surprise, the man's voice was calm and thoughtful, not at all incensed, not even disturbed. So I spilled the beans myself, on a wide-open two-way, and didn't even realize it. Of course, this was not the true explanation, but at that time only Mentor of Aresia had any idea of the real power of Clarissa MacDougall's mind. I knew you were backfiring about something, but thought it was because I might think you guilty of petty vanity. And I called you a dumbbell once, he marveled. Twice, she corrected him, and the second time I was never so glad to be called names in my whole life. Now I know I was getting to be a space louse. Uh-uh, Kim, she denied again gently. And you aren't a brat, or a lug, or a clunker, either, even though I have called you such. But now that I've actually got all this stuff, what can we do about it? Perhaps, probably, I think, since I gave it to you myself, I'll let you keep it, Kinnison decided slowly. Keep it? She exclaimed.
Of course I'll keep it. Why, it's in my mind. I'll have to keep it. Nobody can take knowledge away from anyone.
Oh, sure. Of course, he murmured absently. There are a lot of things that Mac didn't know, and no good end would be served by enlightening her farther. You see, there's a lot of stuff in my mind that I don't know much about myself yet. Since I gave you an open channel, there must have been a good reason for it, even though, consciously, I don't know myself what it was. He thought intensely for moments, then went on. Undoubtedly, the subconscious. Probably, it recognized the necessity of discussing the whole situation with someone having a fresh viewpoint. Someone whose ideas can help me develop a fresh angle of attack. Haynes and I think too much alike for him to be of much help.
You trust me that much? The girl asked, dumbfounded.
Certainly, he replied without hesitation. I know enough about you to know that you can keep your mouth shut. Thus, unromantically, did Kimble Kinnison, Grey Lensman, acknowledge the first glimmerings of the dawning perception of a vast fact, that this nurse and he were two between whom there never would, nor never could, exist any iota of doubt or of question. Then they sat and talked, not idly, as is the fashion of lovers. Of the minutiae of their own romantic affairs did these two converse, but cosmically, of the entire universe, and of the already existent conflict between the cultures of civilization and Bosconia. They sat there, romantically enough to all outward seeming, their privacy assured by Kinnison's lens, and by his ever-watchful sense of perception.